Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A week away, next week, next Friday, we'll be doing a show out there, which was so much fun last year, getting to interact with the listeners of the fan and whatever. Mm-hmm. It was all the diehard sports fan in the area. And then being out there Saturday, I'll be doing the SNY show first and then the fan show. I know you're doing, as you mentioned, the podcast, so it should be a fun day. We're waiting. What are you going to call him, by the way? I feel like Ron Artest.
I'll call him Meta because that's his name.
I know, but
Meta.
His name was Ron Artest.
It was.
And now he's changed.
And you used to work overnights. Now you're on to the middays. Things change, dude.
I know, but yeah, I still got the same name.
Well, no, he doesn't.
Yeah. I wouldn't call him a Nick because he played for the Knicks 1 year.
I remember that, too.
Or you could say Laker, okay, for a while. Or Pacer, like, that changes. But yeah. My name is, like, I knew him as Ron Artest. And now it's not even Meta World Peace anymore, right?
No,
it's
that part confused me. I believe he's changed. I believe he's kept Meta and he's added something. And
all right. Formerly known as Ron Artest, he changed his name to Meta World Peace in 2011, then to Panda's Friend in 2014, and then Meta Sanford Artest is currently, he changed that in 2020.
I was just told, by the way, with Hoff, he's going to dial up in about a minute or so, so we'll get Meta up there. It's a lot of name changes there.
The only thing I think of with Artest, I remember the St. John's days, but
oh,
I was so good. I remember wanting him so badly for
Me
the Knicks.
Too.
And the question wasn't whether the Knicks were going to take him, it was whether he was going to be there.
I know.
And then he was there, and we're all like, oh my God, our guy Artest fell to the Knicks. And those dopes took Frederick Weiss.
I think it was 16th overall. I think that was the number.
And Artest turned out to be one of the best defensive players in the league.
I think of his generation.
Right.
I mean, Ron, nobody, he was a man amongst boys. People were afraid of Ron Artest. And I mean, grown badass men in the NBA. Ron Artest was he ticked to his own beat. He could throw hands if he had to. He was physically strong and just in terms of locking you up defensively. And I think the thing which is why I'm interested to really talk to him, I think because he was so strong and early on, listen, he made his own reputation early, of course. He complicated his own life and then he had to change and show people that he changed, which he did. I don't think he ever got the respect that his IQ as a basketball player was absolutely through the roof. Beast.
And he joins the show right now. Meta Sanford Artest, formerly known as Ron Artest, formerly known as Meta World Peace. Meta, how are we today? You're on with BT and Sal on The Fan in New York. How's it going?
Man, everything is great. Man, thanks for the introduction. Obviously, I changed my name from Ron Artest. That's my dad. My dad is the senior. I was a junior. My son is the third.
Okay.
And then as I went through evolution and became a Buddhist and, you know, growing up in Queensbridge Projects, it's been kind of difficult in terms of what I was trying to do in my career, even though I love the people of Queensbridge Projects, the number one people in my life. But I was trying to do different things in my life, got really inspired by Buddhism. And then I did that for about, I guess, 7 years. I got married, my wife, I got remarried. And then my wife, her last name was Sandiford. So, you know, we kind of took on that. Just, I'm really about woman empowerment. But I go by Meta World Peace. I say all that to come back to my stage name is Meta World Peace.
Okay. So we got that cleared up.
It seems, Meta, that you've gotten your life back on the rails. I think those who follow you, whether it's St. John's roots back in Queensbridge, obviously, before that, and always Queensbridge for you, I get that. It seems like you've been going well for a while, but I think some people are still a little surprised that you stabilized and that you found your footing. By the way, before we get to the Knicks stuff, which we will, how did you find your way? Because it was getting pretty dark pretty quick for you. What happened, man?
Well, you know, life is really interesting. Not to say I had it any rougher than anybody, whether you're rich or poor, female or male. My situation was a little bit different, you know, being that, you know, when I went to, right before I went to St. John's, my older brother went to jail for drug trafficking, 10 years flat. You know, there was no need to fight it, right? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and different things like that. So that's a part. That's a part of the lineage history. Then there's a lot of many other things I don't want to talk about. You know, we saw the things in the news, you know, where 57 of my friends in Queensbridge got arrested, you know, and different things. So when you bring in that, when you bring in that mentality to the even LaSalle Academy, mm-hmm. all private Christian brother school, all boys.
Yeah.
Then you bring it to a Catholic university such as St. John's, and you doing things for the city, but in the back of your mind, you know, you got this edge. It's what you would think a rapper is. You know, a lot of rappers are not what they say they are, right? I'm really that, right? And from that perspective, it's hard to navigate professionalism from street at times, especially early in your career. But I tell you something, once you find your footing, you know, you go back to school when you retire, you get 40 companies in the portfolio, you bring on the former CEO of Boost Mobile as your CEO. You never give up on your life. And that's the thing, something about me, as much effort as I gave on a basketball court is as much effort as I give in life, if that makes sense.
It
so
does.
Even if I lose, you know, losses, they give you the best lessons. And that's what people don't understand. If people could go back in my career and talk about, oh, you did this, you did that. Okay, I'll take all of those as losses.
Did he drop off? Meta drop?
Maybe we had a bad connection there with the Zoom.
Yeah, we'll get him back up there. I think Hoff may have stepped out. Dove, can you take care of that?
Okay, either way.
We'll get him up. We're good.
He's okay.
Oh, my internet. All of a sudden, my internet wanted to be like unstable.
That's okay.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, I was just saying, you know, I think the losses are the best lessons in life.
Meta, what we wanted to have you on, obviously. Actually, there's a lot of questions I want to ask you. I've never had a chance to talk to you personally, so we're happy you joined the show. But the main reason why you were in the news, you were kind of talking about the Knicks head coaching vacancy and maybe that you would be somebody who could take on that role. Where are you at with that? Why do you think that you would be a good candidate to fill the Knicks head coaching vacancy?
Well, one, let me just start with shout out to Tibbs. I'm really proud of the work he's did. Shout out to Leon Rose. I'm really proud of the work that Leon Rose did and Allen Houston, all those guys. I also want to say that this is not intended to put extra pressure on any of the Knicks organization because I love the Knicks organization. I'm from New York. I do a lot with the Knicks. What I do want to say is since 1999, I've been wanting to be a Knick, actually since 1996, ever since these teams been coming into the Garden, coming into my city of New York City and winning. And I just don't like that. I never liked it. I wanted to come in 1999 and win a title. And everything I said I was going to do in 1999, and keep in mind, I'm speaking from a place of passion. People are not in my shoes. You know, people didn't go to St. John's in 97 through 99 where the city actually wanted you to play for the Knicks. So people got to understand, I got a totally different perspective than what anyone else has because the city wanted me to come here in 1999. The city did not want you in 1999. This is only a one-of-one experience. So I'm speaking from a place of passion because I want people to understand how I feel. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, being someone who's very protective of New York City, of New York City basketball, right? You know, and I felt like I was going to come in and lock up. I felt like I could have came in and backed up Latrell and backed up Sprewell. But people don't understand how I think about the game. They think that, oh, I'm just aggressive and physical. But no, I'm thinking about backing up Latrell. I was always a cerebral player. And I think that would have been a great backup for Latrell and Sprewell and got them over the hump because I proved as a 19-year-old rookie I got the most ever steals in the first year at the Bulls, more than Jordan, right? I was locking up all-stars as a rookie. So imagine what I would have done in the Garden, and then imagine putting that Knick jersey on and defensive player of the year in the Garden. Imagine when all-stars is coming into the Garden, they're not getting what they want. Actually, they're leaving with 10 points or less, right? Yeah. And this is what I was guaranteeing that I was going to bring to the Garden. So this passion, this is not nothing new. You know, you don't see me looking for any other job like this Knick job. You know, there's a lot of jobs out there, right? So this specific job is extremely important. And I say that because I was on vacation in a small town in Vancouver Islands where I always go. And I was just at a coffee shop. And I saw this tweet and I said, let's get on it right away because these things happen fast. As you know, people get fired and get hired. So for me, I wasn't necessarily talking to the Knicks front office. I don't have a relationship with the front office, but I needed to throw my name out there, and I'm confident I can get the job done.
Okay, so here's what I want to ask you, man.
I love that, by the way.
That was phenomenal, man. My eyes are darting bound, but like Sprewell. My eyes are good, right there, man.
For the record, Meta, you're talking to two people who wanted the Knicks to draft you badly then. And
I love the Knicks, too, by the way. I don't want just not put pressure on them.
I get it. I mean, at the time, I'm dying for the Knicks to take you, and they take Frazier Clark, that's stiff, and then we got to watch you be Defensive Player of the Year, an all-world stud forever.
With the Pacers, too, though.
Yeah, right, no, my God. Bulls and
Pacers. Oh, no.
It's all good. Listen, things happen for a reason. So here we are. So before you came on, Meta, I was telling Sal, I said, listen, you know, I think there's still some people, not a ton, but still some, who they think of you and maybe more Ron Artest rather than Meta. And they're like, you know, lunatic, uncontrollable. I don't think that you always, now, I don't mean from basketball people, but I don't think you always got the respect and the adulation that you deserve for your IQ and your intelligence. All right. So when you say you want to coach the Knicks, I think for some it sounds crazy. For me, it's not quite as crazy, but I want to ask you this question. You are a defensive player, defensive great. No, that's great. Yes. You watch this team in the playoffs. How are they going to win a championship with Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson on the court playing defense or trying to? If you're coach of the Knicks, what would you do different?
Well, you know, ironically, I didn't even put two and two together that I actually won the DPOY with the Pacers. I love the Pacers. That really stings, huh?
Yeah, and then also,
when I get to the Pacers, who, you know, we was the number one team in the league with 61 wins, right? Not only was I the best defender with Jermaine O'Neal, but I also was one or two on the offensive side.
Yes.
You know, people forget that bro year, I was averaging 24. So from that perspective, I got two perspectives on the game. I got offense and defense. You know, some people, they say, you know, you're just a great defender, but name just a great defender that averaged 18, 24, 20, 18, 20. And then even leading with Kobe, you take a huge back seat. But if you look at the playoffs before that year, I was at 25 in the playoffs against the Lakers. So I could score that rock, right? So from that perspective, on the defensive side, you know, when you're trying to win a title, look at the Detroit Pistons the year they won it. Nobody knew they was going to
beat Wallace, yeah.
With Ben Wallace. Nobody knew that they would beat the Lakers with Karl Malone and Shaq. Mm-hmm. Look at this Pacers team. People didn't think they would even beat the Knicks or the Cavs or the Bucks. So from that perspective, no excuses, right? You work with what you got. You can't look at somebody's body type and then all of a sudden say, oh, I need you to be this type of defender. It doesn't work like that.
Okay.
Your body type and your ceiling is your ceiling. What you got to do is create solutions, right? You know, nonstop, you know, cerebral, scientific solutions to get you over the hump, and it's going to feel painful. Your body's going to hurt. Mentally, you might be exhausted, but that's what you do. I don't let someone's body type and abilities stress me out.
So you're talking about Towns specifically? You would get him in better shape? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I'm just talking about in general. Let's just say, assuming that we didn't have the body type like a Giannis. A Giannis.
Right.
He could show a high screening role, as a big hand-attached show. And then when the guard rejects the screen, he could actually come on the other side and show again. That is elite defensive athletic ability.
Yep.
Not everyone has that.
No, well, Cat doesn't have that. Cat doesn't have it. He doesn't have it.
And it's okay.
No,
and
it's not. Okay.
Let me tell you why it's okay.
Yes, go ahead.
I'll tell you why it's okay. The reason it's okay, because under duress, you can't be stressed. You know, when you can't think about during a game what you don't have. So my mind doesn't work like that. My mind is, I work with what I got. So I'm not the coach. I'm not even in the runnings yet. I have not talked to front office, with the exception of sending out messages and being very annoying.
So good.
I haven't been annoying, I must admit. But from that perspective, I'm speaking from, if I had what I had, I'm not speaking of who I need. You know, I'm speaking from this is a dream perspective, but I don't want nothing else right now, because I'm not coming into this game, you know, begging. I'm going to work with what I got. And then if a Hail Mary was to come my way and I became the coach, then we could address all that later. I just think it's too early for me to comment on that.
Oh, okay. Interesting. But now you got to understand where we're coming from. And I know you do, because we saw the video. We saw the video about a week or so ago, and we're like, we got to get Meta on the show, man. So obviously we're happy that it worked out. Now, you would tell the Knicks organization what you need to tell them. And I understand you don't want to divulge everything now. But there's Nick fans out there who are like, huh, even if he's not the head coach, I don't know, maybe get him on staff here. I'm just curious, like, what you saw, without naming names, you could be as,
okay.
You know, do you think that this roster, because I don't, and I love the Knicks, I don't think they're a championship roster yet. Do you, with whatever tweaks you might do, do you think it's a championship roster?
By a game 7 championship, yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think this team was capable of taking it to a game 7. You would have had to be perfect. You would have took some L's along the way. But when you look at the team, it was a, you know, this is no disrespect to Tibbs. I'm just talking about the game. Mm-hmm. But when you look at what happened, a 3 seed against a 4 seed, home court advantage, lost home court advantage, by the way. And when you look at some of the defense that was played in the end, there was a lot of small errors, a lot of closeout errors, a lot of closeouts. You know, you go, when you're closing out to a shooter, you sprint and then you chop.
Yep.
You sprint and then you chop. And it's things like, I don't want to get too much into it.
You're right, though. I get
these
it.
These little things. Mm-hmm. And this game is a game of inches. Mm-hmm. And that's what people don't understand, that I understand. This, when we was playing the Boston Celtics, we was down 13 in the third quarter in game 7. This is a game of inches. So you got to do everything right. So that's why I say it don't matter who you got. This team, they totally could have been in position. Now, keep in mind, I played for the Pacers. I got a really great relationship with the Pacers ownership. I never go to a Pacers Knicks playoff series because I'm too conflicted, honestly. But I do want to coach the Knicks. And like I said, what I saw was some little errors. There was a lot of, you can go back at the end of those games and you'll see those little errors. And this could have easily been, 1-0. It could have easily been one.
It should have been.
Meta, so why not, if you want to coach, and I know it's specific, your passion for the Knicks, by the way, BT and Sal on the fan, we're talking with Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest, of course, former NBA great, defensive player of the year, St. John's, all that accolades, looking to get his name in the mix for the Knicks head coaching job. I know it's specific to the Knicks, your passion, but if you really want to be a coach, wouldn't you accept maybe an assistant role or something like that, even if it were to work your way up to get to a point where you could be in a position when something like this opens to go take advantage of that opportunity?
Well, let's just say you wanted to be a commentator, or you wanted to take your career to the next level as media, but you didn't get the opportunities. Maybe it has happened. So you have to create your opportunities.
Right
now, you can go on ESPN right now, if I'm not mistaken. You could go right now on ESPN or TNT and do your thing because you prepared. That's what I had to do. I was trying to get different positions because I want to be a head coach. I have a straight goal. But anytime someone would call me, would say they're going to call me, they never call me back. 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 So then I can't get the experience if you're not calling me back. If you're not calling me back.
Yeah.
So what did I do? I prep. I'm a different type of competitor. So I coach Cal State LA girls for the last 7 years. That's what people don't understand. Yes, it's Division II, but it's the best opportunity for me and on an even playing field. When you talk about where we came from, from not reaching the NCAA tournament in 20 to 30 years to us getting there, taking them to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row, to last year coming out being ranked top 10 in Division II women's basketball. That is coaching. That's coaching. And then yeah. When we played against Stanford as Division II, and when you look at what the Stanford coach said, is on video, is live on Twitter, she said, this team is so well prepared. Now, who's the associate head coach of that? Who name did not get recognized? So you got to keep in mind, I don't have an agent, and shout out to all the agents. I personally don't have one. So I'm not getting these opportunities to get the experience. And we also saw people, the experience I just told you I have, turning the program around. There's a lot of people that have not came into the game with that experience. I don't want to mention names.
No, J.J. Redick, I mean, Jason Kidd, a ton of them.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention names. It's not fair to them. I really love those guys. But I'm saying from me, from my perspective.
Yeah.
I have experience. So that's why I'm coming into this with confidence.
Okay, that is good too. Meta, let me ask you this here. When you, a player like you, from your philosophies, which are non-negotiable. Now, of course, you're going to coach college girls, maybe a little different level of energy, yes. like what you say to men. We get that. You're not going to cross that line, clearly.
Yeah.
But the modern athlete is very different than you were. Could you, how would you balance the softness that has infiltrated the NBA today, man?
Well, I think if you look at what's happening right now with the game, and I want to answer your first part. So girls, you definitely coach girls different than guys. That's true. But you do get a lot of different emotions with girls that you won't typically get with guys and vice versa. So with that, from that perspective, when Phil Jackson coached Rodman, Jordan, Pippen, or myself, Kobe, Powell, those are all different emotions. A lot of the times you're coaching emotion. I don't want to get into that. I'm going to give away all my philosophies. But so a lot of the times, it does have carryover because you it's a lot of lessons throughout the process. To the second part, what was the second part of your question? Sorry.
Just about how the NBA's changed since even you talking about. How do you deal with the softness?
That's just communication. One, you communicate, you have your meetings with your players. Where is everybody at mentally? Like a Ron Artest, for example, I'm not thinking about money. If you come to me as a coach, a new coach, all you're going to hear is a dog. And when you look at the NBA this year, there's a lot of dogs. There's a lot of people getting paid, but it's a little bit more aggressive than it was, which is why Rick Carlisle's having success. Because in the middle of a transition, let's call it the last 3 years, we've seen a shift in physicality, right? And with that shift, there has to be adjustments. So Rick Carlisle adjusted to the shift in the rules. If you notice, mm-hmm. there was more touching. Was there touching a couple of years ago?
No.
So from that perspective, the since the league is going that way, the players will follow. So it's perfect timing for me because I don't have to sell someone on being a dog. You have to be a dog in today's NBA.
Wow.
If you can see it. So from that perspective, the work is done for me there.
That's an interesting answer, man.
It's phenomenal. Wow. It's a phenomenal answer. So, and we're learning a lot about you, and I'm sure the listeners are as well. So, Meta, why do you think, do you think there's a perception of you because of the name changes?
Before you get to that, let me answer this third question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
About will I accept a role, right, other than head coach? Because you threw like a sub-question in there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this. In this moment, respectfully, no. Because in this moment, it's an opportunity to bring the Knicks to a title, which I've been trying to do since 1999. In this moment, I read a tweet that said the head coach is gone. So in this moment, my focus is there. In another moment, I'll have a discussion on other things. But right now, the focus is, I just want to say that, the focus is head coaching.
Yeah, but Meta, hold on. You might not get that other chance. Like, if I want to be on the air and I got a microphone in Montana and I'm 23 years old and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to go to Montana, then I could easily, and people who know me, they could say, well, how bad do you want to be on the air? If the Knicks say, hey, you can run the G League or whatever, and you say no, people say, okay. You know what I'm saying?
Good question. Right. So I tried to coach G League teams. I got turned down. I got turned down from G League teams. I also got turned down from my own alma mater. So let's just start there. I'm trying hard. And then, but I'm not giving up. That's the key.
Gotcha.
And then also what I want to say in this moment is a head coaching opportunity. But what I want to say in another moment, let's say if they hired someone, but I want it to be me, but let's say they hired someone, that's another moment. That's another opportunity. But in this moment, the opportunity is head coaching. In another moment, I'm not saying I would turn that down, the opportunity.
Okay, I got you.
So it leads me to my next question, Meta, because this has been fascinating listening to you here. And I didn't even know about you coaching. I don't care if it's Division II or what.
A lot of people coaching.
Yeah,
I was arguing with Charles Barkley yesterday about this. Charles Barkley said, you don't even coach. I said, Charles, that's not true. You're putting the wrong narrative out there. We literally had a five-minute argument.
Good, put it in his place.
So it's great. So then I want to know, Meta, from afar, why, if you're somebody that wanted to get back in, not just shoot right to the top and go coach the Knicks, I know that's your primary goal right now, but if you were trying to get back in at St. John's or other opportunities over the years, do you think it's the perception, the name changes, the malice at the Palace brawl? Like, what is preventing Ron Artest or Meta World Peace from getting an opportunity when you sound great to me?
No, absolutely, 100%. It could be I'm coming in hot. People know I want to be a head coach. And this is the one thing I tell people. There are people out there that you don't know that I want to be a head coach. So there's people out there that are looking for opportunities to say, oh, this is an opportunity for me to get the job. I got to come out publicly because I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. My goal is to be a head coach. So if I coach under your staff, you know, my goal is to one day be a head coach. Now, I don't want anybody's job. You never heard me come in the media
nope.
and talk about another coach. You know, and about not even on this opportunity here, I'm still bigging up Tibbs. I love Tibbs. Right. So from that perspective, I'm searching opportunities. I'm not worried about what opportunities I don't get. I can control what I can control. And right now I'm ready to head coach. You see, whether I get this job or not, I'm going to do something next year to perfect my craft as a head coach.
But why do you think it hasn't happened for you at those opportunities?
I think because I'm, you know, I think alpha, having a little bit of alpha, but I'm an alpha, but I can work for alphas. I can work for females. I can work for non-alphas. I worked at Circuit City my rookie year.
I remember hearing that, dude.
I worked at Circuit City my rookie year. I can work for people.
You did. It's true. I remember
but I gave it 100%. Like, yeah. If I'm coming to work at Circuit City, I'm coming bringing my best. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I'm playing a role with Kobe, I'm bringing the alpha best, the best role player. You see what I'm saying? So from that perspective, I think, you know, I would probably have to be with somebody who could say, Meta, shut the hell up.
And somebody that you respect. And so somebody that you trust, obviously. So I just want to get back to something you said before. You mentioned your alma mater, St. John's, obviously. I mean, that team, Bootsy, I love that team, man. Was this before Mike Anderson, obviously Rick the Savior here is phenomenal. Were you he's the best. Were you in the mix with Anderson, like after Chris? When did you want to go to St. John's?
Where do I want to coach transparently? St. John's, Lakers, Knicks, Pacers, USC, UCLA, Cal State, LA, Division II women's where I'm at today. I can coach women's or men. I love coaching women's.
Yeah.
You know, I've applied for the Bucks head coaching job. I've applied reached out for the Charlotte head coaching job. I reached out for the Fever head coaching job. I reached out for the Sparks head coaching job. I reached out for G League head coaching jobs. And I can't get upset if I'm not getting the response.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't stress me out because my focus is different.
Yeah, but hold on. Meta, St. John's didn't even respond to you? St. John's?
I don't want to talk about it too much, but it's okay.
Okay. No, I know you guys are good now. I just wanted to see if okay, I got you.
Meta, you mind hanging on for a few minutes? We take a quick break. We got a lot more that we want to get to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. Meta, that was your record right there. You recording any records these days? Where are we at with your music?
Yeah, I'm not recording music these days. I have, being from Queensbridge, you know, Nas, who's probably the greatest hip-hop artist ever, over Pac, over Jay-Z, over Biggie, over anybody that ever existed in hip-hop. And being that that's where Nas is from, you know, he inspired me. When I used to be on the block, I grew up on Mobb Deep block. So all the songs that you heard, you know, I was actually in that era. I actually could probably point to something I don't want to talk about too much, but you know, Nas, and you know, he just inspired me so much, and I always wanted to be like Nas. And so, in his honor, I did some music, but I wasn't able to focus on it because I was playing basketball. If I had 100% of my time to focus on music, I would have had classics, I believe, because my inspiration was like in front of me every day.
You friendly with Nas? You still stay in touch with him at all?
Yeah, Nas is like, you know, Nas is like our version of Jordan. You know, like when we see Jordan, we still love Jordan, even though I competed and accidentally broke Jordan's ribs with a really good fierce match in the summertime. But Nas is that same type of thing. Like, I look up to Nas how I look up to Jordan. So, and it's kind of unfortunate because he grew up in a neighborhood where everybody, you know, was always asking, not asking like money all the time, but just want his time.
Yeah, for sure. It's the way it is. I remember reading an article on you. It may have been in ESPN, the magazine, back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The day where, you know, your rookie year, you had like 25, 30 people on the payroll. And it,
no.
It really, like, haircut, like, maybe the article was wrong, but you don't remember that?
Yeah, they asked me to do a picture and then said it was a payroll. Like, why would you ask me to take a picture with my friends and say,
oh,
payroll? Like my dad wasn't even on the payroll. My mom was there. She wasn't even on the payroll. Like I had a barber who I just maybe got a haircut.
Okay.
And he got my payroll.
Okay, so they did you a little dirty. I got you.
And I have a payroll of 25 people with $500,000 after tax.
I hear you. That's why I was a little worried for you when I read it, but it's all worked out. And you know, Meta, by the way, we're going to jump around a little bit, have some. This is awesome. Yeah.
No worries. Great.
Yeah, and the Queensbridge roots, man, as deep and as tough as any in the area. And really, basketball's changed in the city. I know you went to LaSalle. You mentioned that yes. before. Obviously, stayed home, played for the Johnnies. But, like, you pass a park. Do you see kids balling anymore? Do you see the same love for basketball in the parks and in the streets like it was when you were coming up?
It's really depressing. It's sad. I did a red carpet at a Showtime, the New York City Point Guards press conference. And I specifically talked about this and about this problem. You know, I used that time to talk about the pot. Now, it didn't go viral, but there's an issue with gentrification that when gentrification first started, it was taking away the fabric of New York City basketball. Because imagine when there, you know, people are saying, turn down the music. Mm-hmm. I'm like, turn down the music in a street ball game? Sorry, you're not from here, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can't tell us, like, enjoy the music, actually, and wake up. It's 9 a.m., all right? And you know, so from that perspective, the fabric of New York City basketball, that's something else that I want to address and accomplish in New York City, bringing it back. And what people got to understand is street ball in New York City, it needs to have a lobbyist, because some people are taking advantage of the fact that there's not a real voice. There's not a strong voice in New York City. And we got to really, we can't let it slide, right?
Where is the voice? I mean, I know Mully's been out west forever. Marbury was in China. You know, Felipe's doing his thing for the Johnnies and for the NBA. But where is the voice? There's always been a voice. What happened?
Well, I think because before it was just organic. It was just street ball, basketball. We played, no issues. But then there became issues. They started closing the parks. Yeah. And just because maybe there's some issues going on in the park, like I think that's the time to bring out where the police should come out and protect the parks, protect the players. Because when you're talking about 9 p.m. park closes, well, when I grew up, I was playing at 2 a.m. I was outside at 2 a.m. That didn't exist for quite some time in New York City. So from that perspective, you need somebody that's going to give effort. If you're not thinking about, oh, the importance of New York City basketball, if it's not important at the highest levels where you can say the park is closed, then you're going to have this issue we have now.
You know, I was bothered for this for 25 years with the Knicks not taking you in the first round, but I'm even more annoyed now after talking to you, Meta. What was the reason those knuckleheads didn't select you?
It was my fault.
Why?
Let me tell you, it was my fault. I'm going to tell you why. So I was confident I was going to the Knicks. I was just, oh, this is going to happen. I told my agent, please, I was projected to go top 10. I said, agent, please, this is going to help me go to the Knicks. So he was trying to work it out. He did. It got me to 15. I missed the practice. The first practice with the Knicks I missed. I was actually partying in Flamingos the night before. I got really hammered. So as I was in the bed, I told him I was throwing up and then I threw up that night, but I was so hungover the next morning. I told my agent, I said, listen, this is a real story. You know, I got to be honest.
Yeah.
I said, listen, I cannot get out the bed. Can I come back and do this one over? And then they said yes, and I think like that might have turned them off. I think they might have got scared of.
I can't blame them.
Oh.
But I was more excited because like you know, I'm young, and I'm like, this is easy. We out partying. I'm gonna miss practice tomorrow, but I'm not worried about it because there's nobody better than me anyway. So my mindset was probably not, you know, but you know, I probably could have handled it differently.
Yep.
But I still didn't think that was enough to just like not pick me.
Well, but there was...
They could have overlooked it. I would have
overlooked it.
You can miss 9 workouts in a row. Man, we didn't get Weiss. That's stiff. So, but here's the other thing, too. Missing, and I think you mean team workout, not practice, like team workout, right? Is that what you mean? Like a...
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a team workout, pre-workout.
Gotcha. I thought you meant that.
Draft workout.
But the other thing, Meta, and you know this, man, because you matured, you're a grown man now, you're not 18, 19, you've seen the world, come on, and you've learned a lot, and you're a different person. Back then... You were just wildly unpredictable, and people yes. were afraid of you, man.
Absolutely. I was wildly unpredictable. I think also alcohol was a problem for me. Not everybody, but for me, as alcohol is a depressant. If it's a killer, it's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, some, and then if you don't understand that, and then, you know, you also don't have control over your life, I can see why. I could definitely see why. That's why I wanted to be honest. I didn't want to make it like, oh, I'm the victim here. I'm not the victim. You know, I initiated the reason why, I think. But I still think that's why in my situation, I can coach people like myself. I'm not too worried about it.
Did you ever try to get back with the Knicks when Phil Jackson was the president? You had a relationship with
him? I've always tried to get back to. I almost came back to the Knicks. I was always trying to make it back to New York.
Under and Phil?
Yes, everybody.
But I've Phil, always tried to get but back Phil to specifically, Knicks. Because you played under Phil Jackson. I'm assuming you had a relationship with him. When he was running things into the ground here at the Garden, maybe there was an opportunity for you there. No, nothing with Phil Jackson specifically?
Well, you got to understand, sometimes like if Carmelo's available, right? You got to think about it. That's the priority, right? So it's just timing. Sometimes it wasn't the right time. But when I had my pockets of opportunity, the Knicks was always like first. Unless like I played with the Pacers. So at some point in time, you know, I'm not even thinking about the Knicks. I'm thinking about the Pacers. But when I had those windows of opportunities, I almost made it back to the Knicks in 2010, actually, right before I got the championship with the Lakers. I almost made it. That was my year to come back. Almost did it.
What happened?
I think things I can't really talk about, but it was things that happened with my connections that I had a connection and then things happened. I don't really want to bring it back up.
I got you.
But, it like was
an
something
agent?
That happened. Now.
An agent, or are you talking about a former player?
I don't really want to get this hints out there because it's going to be a story that we don't really want to hear. It's not, you know what I mean? But from that perspective, I had a window of opportunity and I was excited. By the way, I was almost a Knick. In my prime. I just want people to know.
Oh,
I was almost a Knick in my prime. But it's okay. You know, it's okay. You just never give up. And guess what? Ernie Grunfeld, without Ernie, I don't know if I was a Knick in 2000. I think that was 15 or 16. So thank you, Mr. Grunfeld.
Yeah, we like Ernie's one of us from Queens,
late,
no doubt.
Too late at that point. I mean, yeah, you get to put on a Knicks jersey.
Yeah, it was too late.
I got to put
late.
On a Knicks jersey. Incredible.
Yeah, but it's too late to Sal's point. For we what? Wanted to put it on earlier.
What about the 15?
I know, I was horrible.
hey, Meta, do me a favor. I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy this. Give us a little story, Sal. Check this out. So, you know how it wasn't like this in the 70s or 80s, but In the early 90s and obviously now is when AAU basketball exploded, almost in a lot of ways more important than high school, as crazy as it sounds. And Meta's team at Riverside, you played with Lamar. This was their summer team, dude. Lamar Odom, Elton Brand, Eric Barkley, Ron Meta. So, what? I mean, who the hell beat you? Did you ever lose a game with that team?
We did lose one game against Baron Davis' team. We lost against Baron's team, but we came back and beat them by 20 in the championship.
What was the team like, man? That must have been sick.
Baron was really good, and he got another story. I'm actually giving us more credit, so he'll tell you another version of the story. Basically, he wasn't at the game that we beat them.
Really?
But we beat the team. We beat that same team. Baron had to go somewhere.
Yeah. Do you still talk to those guys, Lamar? And obviously, Barkley played at St. John's. You still love Elton. You still talk to those guys or no?
Just every now and then. Elton's obviously general manager of the Sixers, and you got Eric Barkley, he's getting into coaching and basketball camps, and we actually need to support Eric Barkley more in New York City. And then Lamar, every now and then I speak to Lamar. Lamar's doing something, got his life back in order.
Good.
You know, every now and then me and Baron, I live in L.A., so me and Baron always, we always chop it up.
Meta, back to the Knicks for a second as it pertains to their team and their roster. Do you think you can win a championship with Jalen Brunson, you know, an undersized star point guard?
Yes.
Why?
He's a generational mentality. Not many people has his mentality. Not many people want to come to the Garden, right? Carmelo Anthony, at a time where everybody was avoiding the Garden, not Ron Artest. I wanted to come for the fan scrutiny and the media scrutiny. I love it. I love it. But Carmelo came to the Garden and showed out. Brunson is showing out. That's hard to do in New York City. We know this, guys. Not everybody's built.
Yeah.
People didn't even come up. You're talking about some of the greatest players ever. And I don't want to say just not only the greatest players ever, because we know LeBron's a great.
LeBron's number two. MJ's the greatest.
Better than Michael.
Come on.
I'm just
man.
Saying, like, in general, like some of the greatest players of our era did not come to the Knicks when they could have. That shows you who Jalen Brunson is. On top of that, taking less money. You know, so that's where it gets frustrating for me, because even when I wasn't the best of the best, I was locking down the best. I was winning. It was points in time where you had all-stars in the East. They wasn't better than our teams. So from that perspective, you got people who want to come to New York.
Yeah.
That's why Jalen's a different mentality.
He's even a killer, Avery
Johnson,
man.
Avery Johnson's smaller than Jalen Brunson.
Nah, Avery from the Spurs. No, he's our killer, and we love him. we got to get a little more around them. What is your opinion on the I don't mean how they get along. I'm sure they get along fine. But on court relationship, do you think that OG and Bridges, 35, 40 minutes a pop on the court together, does that work the way it's supposed to?
I mean, I think I'm not going to say it doesn't work, but I do believe in playing more people. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, everything else will work out itself, because sometimes, you know, you could be looking at the surface of it and saying, oh, this is what I see. These guys are not playing well, but maybe they needed a little rest. Maybe we needed to add another combination in there. There's many different things you can do. But I haven't analyzed those two as much.
Well, Meta, I'm surprised because, you know, when you played and when everything was good in your life, you were, you know, 40-minute-a-game guy. I would think that you would almost have a limited bench. You're telling me that you would kind of go the opposite and maybe stretch things out a little bit, huh?
Well, it just depends on the circumstance. I've been on teams where it was an 8-man rotation.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, because I don't really care about my field goal percentage. So for me, I'm a hustle and dive on the floor. I don't care if I don't have legs, right, to make a shot. So that's why I could play so long, because I was still denying. I was boxing out. You know, I was balancing the floor on a full court defense. Also, a lot of people take that for granted, balancing the floor on defense, not just in half court, but for fast breaks. You know, to be able to stop a fast break, you know, in its track, you know, and then so things like that where I wasn't conserving no energy.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking about Meta World Peace. Couple more before we let you go. Really do appreciate your time. It's been fun catching up with you here. If you were to get the Knicks job, Meta, what would you do with Rick Brunson, who's currently the top assistant?
I think that those type of comments might be too early to comment on because I'm not there yet. I definitely don't want to shoot myself in the foot. Mm-hmm. I haven't analyzed anything. Now, keep in mind, as a head coach, I do know what type of staff that I would present because you have to work with the front office. I haven't really analyzed any way about anybody.
Even though he's the superstar's father, you know, you get Jalen Brunson, the superstar player of the team. His father is the top assistant. That's going to be tricky for a new head coach.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes you got to be political, and I would have to be political at this point.
I'll take the job. If you want me to hire, keep him, sure, that's fine.
And then once I'm here, I'll change things up if I have to. Hey, you know what I always wanted to ask you, man? So, I mean, I've seen, whether it's documentaries, obviously the Mouse, the Palace, but not just that, where I have heard grown men, I mean physically imposing strong men, say, I was afraid of that guy. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but did you fear anybody at all, ever, on a basketball court at all?
Well, no. And, you know, it came from a place, you know, when Lloyd Newton from Long Island City High School, when he died on the basketball court with a bunch of other players from Queensbridge, like, you know, it really messed up our psyche, you know. And so many things happened on the court where I was kind of traumatized playing on the court. I always was on edge, because I always felt like I had to protect myself. And the bad thing about that is it was a gift and a curse, because what made me great, I had no control over as a young player. So in my mind, I'm a really great kid, you know, but on the court, just something else just ticks, you know, from that perspective. Then that's why I was doing so much therapy, because I needed to gain control over that piece. But I think a lot of the trauma growing up, like we was 12 years old, we was playing in Far Rock. 12 years old, at the free throw line, we was playing hard in someone else's territory. Then our player got hit over the head with a 40-ounce OE bottle.
Oh, my God.
You know? Yeah, and
I believe it.
You got to think about it. Yeah. We're 11 years old in Far Rock.
Yeah. Tough neighborhood, you
know? Man. So there was no protection.
Yep.
At some point in time, you develop this kind of the scab for any fear.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you are always like, imagine, you know, if you see a lion and you get a little too close, you know what I mean? And I needed to, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted to retire at 23 years old. Because I'm like, I'm not enjoying the game, which I actually put my papers in for retirement at 23 years old.
You had to straighten out your mind, man. You had
a lot going
on, dude.
Do you ever
a lot going on? Yeah. Family. I had my baby at 16. And then I took it out on the game that loved me. I took it out of the game. So I totally understand, you know, why people was like, you know, I got to be arm's length with this guy. And you know, I can control what I can control.
I'm hearing stability and accountability from you, Mehta, and it is refreshing. But I wonder if you think you'll ever be able to change the perception that has either been created by some of your actions or that some people right. have in their mind, whether it's the brawl, the name changing, which seems to be either unique thought or unstable thought. Do you think you'll ever change the perception of what many view Mehta World Peace as?
I think you got to focus on winning. You know, I think that's the focus on life, because look at from a political perspective, you know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, can you change the perception? You know, whether you're, you know, a great coach or a bad coach, you know, some fans is going to have a perception. You know, whether you're Floyd Mayweather and, you know, people want to see you get that loss. So I think as human beings, I think you still try to improve the world. You try to improve people's quality, try to bring good energy. But if you're in a moment or in a dark moment or a moment in your life, you know, recognize it, notice it, and move on. Because if you spend your life worrying about what someone else thinks of you, you could be spending that time on somewhere else. So for me, I'm just focused on winning in life and then winning a title as a head coach in basketball.
This was awesome having you on, man, because, you know, if you're old enough to remember you coming up the ranks, I Am Sal is, wow. If you're a little younger, you hear a mature Mehta. Just really, I didn't really know where this was going. I don't know if any of us knew where it was going. I think I speak for everybody. This was fantastic, man. Thank you for coming on. Always rooting for you. Johnny's always in the house. And listen, we'll be following the Knicks coaching search, buddy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good luck to the Knicks, by the way. Hopefully it's me.
Hey, and Mehta, next time you're in town, come by the studios, hang out. We'll get back into that LeBron Jordan debate with you in studio.
Oh, we got to do that. Let's do it. And then also, I think SGA is better than Michael Jordan at times, but we can save that.
He's dropping bombs over here. Let's not get nuts,
Mehta. What about Halliburton? He overrated? Halliburton's overrated, isn't he, Ron?
I'm not going to get into that, but what I am going to say is probably...
throw us a name. Hey. Don't make fans a bone. We need it.
Hey, what I am going to say, he's really clutch.
That's true. He disappears for 30 minutes, then he shows up and does his job. I got you.
Can't dispute that. Mehta, thank you so much for your time, man.
Thanks,
we appreciate it. Best of luck.
All right.
Man.
That was fun.
Dude, the story, like, I know we got a break, but... And I can't relate. I could relate to probably a lot more than most. I can't even remotely relate to the story he said about being a Far Rock, which is, by the way, a tough neighborhood, because I know Rock.
I know
well.
You're saying Queensbridge. Like, I know about that from Nas.
Dude, it's...
Listening to Nas records, so...
It's you wake up over your shoulder every day.
Yeah.
And to be playing basketball at 11, 12 years old, and to get smashed over the head with a bottle, the 40-year-old E... I mean, that's just something that's different. And I'm not saying that's directly why Ron or then Ron was. I think there were some true mental things that he had to take hold of medically.
Yeah.
And he has. But that to hear him now was phenomenal.
Sounds great.
I'm so happy for him. And I knew he was going to sound good because I followed him. But it's easy to, like, you know, he's not really around St. John's. He's not in the NBA. He sounds awesome.
That was one of my favorite interviews ever.
That was fantastic.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.